On this episode of DC On Screen, we're discussing the new regime of Warner Brothers Discovery, more Ezra Miller tea, Michael Keaton's leaked Batsuit Plus, James Gunn clarifications, a new gaming series coming to HBO Max, an update on Harley Quinn Season 3, lots of stuff to get to right after these messages from our mystery sponsors. Welcome into DC On Screen, the podcast that covers the DC multiverse on film and television. If it has been released, it is fair game. So beware of spoilers, and welcome to the show. I'm David Z. Robertson, and this, the man who was wicked and lazy. Don't you want to save him? Jason Goss.
Hi.
I find it's good to throw in some David Byrne from time to time.
I'm not going to argue with you on that one. I don't know if this is my house or my wife.
My God, what have you done?
I don't know how I got here.
All right, so before we get into to everything, I do want to give a big shout out and thanks to our patrons, without whom there may be no show. If you would like to join their hallowed ranks, $1 a month gets you every episode with no mystery sponsor ads. $5 a month gets you that, plus whatever the hell extras we think to do or push out. We really just shit them out. Like, no, well, we have something. Let's just...
That's not true. Go. They they escape.
Yes, like Futurama.
Yeah, they escape.
They don't, they're not released so much as they escape from time to time.
Right.
Okay, so it's been a minute. We've both been super busy. There wasn't a lot going on for a minute.
Well, it was a nice time. There was a whole bout of flu in my household that held me back pretty significantly.
A bout, you say?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember such a bout.
I mean, we won in theory, but what was the cost?
I don't know. I remember I drove by and I saw your wife outside hitting old rags and claiming there were rats.
And there were.
Dark times. Dark times there, guy.
The scariest part was me falling asleep in the pasture behind my home.
That is strange.
I just wandered by. You wonder why the electric fence didn't startle me, but no, we just found ourselves there.
These things happen. You know, life is crazy. Zap your nuts with an electric fence.
I avoided that.
I know you did.
I dutifully tested.
Dutifully tested.
With my hand. Avoided shocking the genitals as a result.
No one needs a scorched scrot. So.
It's not, I regret nothing. It's I regret some things, but I regret less than I would have otherwise.
So, what we're going to talk about, we're going to get into a little section I call WBT, as in the tea has spilled. All right. Gotcha. So we are, I mean, I've talked about this before. We've done this before because unfortunately our love of DC Comics and its characters means that we have to deal with all of the unfortunate bullshit that Warner Brothers Pictures and the related companies and individuals therein get up to on a semi-regular basis. So
yeah, as a company, the fun part is, as a creative force, fantastic. As a company, a shit show.
Sometimes fantastic as a creative force. Sometimes. When they're not, like, dipping their hands in the cookie jar and screwing shit up because they don't understand anything.
Yeah, there's all that. But then, like, every time that happens, there's, like, 10 comics that come out that month that are actually pretty sweet. So, like, there's a lot going on there.
There is.
And, you know, Looney Tunes and Animaniacs in the background or some shit. Like, there's a lot more going right than wrong, but it affects what we talk about very deeply.
It does.
When it goes wrong.
So, I'm honestly not sure where we're at because we are officially merged. Warner Brothers and Discovery have officially merged. Everything's happening. This is, Warner Brothers Discovery is the thing. That's here now. Discovery CEO David Zaslav has taken control. And an interesting piece came out in the Hollywood Reporter that was just kind of talking about how there's going to be less red tape, more accountability, which sounds good on his face. And the article tells of how in 2001, Zaslav and a handful of colleagues visited AT&T's Dallas headquarters to finalize the mega merger. And they were talking about Zaslav's vibes, like his control method. And basically, like, it was talking about how, like, while AT&T executives mostly operated quietly out of their modern glass offices, the Discovery crew huddled in one office, food out on table, phones ringing regularly. Like, it was a bit of a roll-up-your-sleeves family-style culture, they said, the insider said. And, man, that, I'm not sure that, that sounds sort of chaotic.
A little bit, but that's how my workplace works, and we make it work.
Mm-hmm. But basically, Zaslav wants all of his top entertainment executives to have his ear, and he wants to have theirs, which nobody else is doing it. Not in the studio game.
It'll be now interesting.
Zaslav has chosen top execs who consist mostly of his lieutenants from Discovery, but also four Warner Media executives who are sticking around, three of them leading the entertainment assets that made the merger appealing: HBO and HBO Max chief Casey Bloys, Warner Brothers TV chief Channing Dungey or Dungey, and Warner Brothers Pictures chief Toby Emmerich. So we didn't get Toby out. Damn it.
Yeah.
However,
the last brick did not fall.
I suspect, and I may be completely wrong here, Toby's contract is up in 2023. It might have just been easier to let that play out.
Yeah.
Rather than pay out.
Yeah.
Now,
happens in, you know, sports all the time. Just let him have one more mediocre season and not renew. Mm-hmm. And good luck to you. Have a good day.
Yeah. Now, they did, this article noticed, or noted, I should say, that Warner Media, the executives were layered, reporting to they were reporting to Ann Sarnoff, who in turn reported to Jason Kyler, who in turn reported to AT&T boss John Stankey. But now everybody's reporting directly to the CEO, to Zaslav himself.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying Zaslav will play a hands-on role and give top creative execs direct access while leaving the green lighting of film and TV projects to them. Zaslav lauded the new structure when he unveiled the executive team, touting its, quote, fewer layers, more accountability, and a singular strategic focus as a global pure-play content company. And one source describes the goal as empowering creative execs, avoiding silos, and ensuring quick decision-making.
You got to think that translates to basically him getting a phone call and going, yeah, okay, all right, well, yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you what, you do what you think is right, and if you're wrong, I guess I'll just have to fire you, but, you know, good luck.
Yeah, Zaslav
you has have a my resources until you're proven wrong.
Mm-hmm. It says here Zaslav has a reputation for being results-focused, but also for having a less formal and more collaborative approach, which sees him calling executives quite regularly. He wants to have someone who knows how to do it. He wants to call you, for example, and get an answer. Now, I want to pull back for a second and say, you know, I don't know what this means for those hoping for Snyderverse, for more Zack Snyder stuff. We do know that Zaslav kind of went around in 21, talking to a lot of different creatives. We don't know why Zack Snyder posted that Final Crisis Absolute Edition with the storyboard notebooks on top of it behind his Thanksgiving turkey. I would assume it was because of that.
Yeah.
However, you know, it's hard to say because, you know, you have this article saying Zaslav, you know, is going to be, you know, giving green lighting and stuff to other people, letting other people do it. But then you also have like this saying that he has a reputation for being results focused. Now, if the Snyder fans are as correct as they seem to believe that HBO Max or the Zack Snyder's Justice League did more for HBO Max and blah, 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 and, you know, whatever, Then I think we should be getting a restoration. If it didn't, we'll never hear about that shit. They'll just move on down the line. So he seems like he's very business oriented and is just like, does this work? Does this not work? Like, very quick decision making. Like, already they shut down CNN Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Did you
yeah.
see that shit? Yeah, like, they stomped that shit.
That happened fast. Quick. I mean, that was, I saw like two tweets and it was over.
Mm-hmm. Now, this was encouraging, though, for you know, anyone who wants creatives to have their control, Warner Brothers. Zaslav kind of did like a town hall with Discovery and Warner Media staff. Mm-hmm. And he pitched this mission, this creative mission. He says, Warner Brothers has been the greatest creative company in the world, the place that the talent want to come, the place where they feel nourished and supported. That is the history of Warner Brothers. So that sounds good. That all sounds, you know.
Oh, he's saying the right things.
He's saying the right things. Of course, they all do until they don't.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to find that his approach was basically like, listen, did it make a dollar more than what we put into it? Okay, well, then it stands.
Mm.
I mean, that's an extreme example, of course, but...
Yes, it is.
If it made money, let it be. Like, let it roll. So, in this case, that's kind of a really good... I don't know. It's good hope for... continuing the Snyder Cut version of things. Mm-hmm. Not that the Snyderverse doesn't continue to this day. I mean, dear God, like all the movies that are coming out have
ties to it at the very least.
Yeah. Like nothing has been forgotten. It's not a cul-de-sac like Ann Sarnoff's career, apparently. She gone. It's just not like that. So
yeah,
I would like it to be more explicit. And of course, if that's the case and he's that business minded and the numbers actually work, like apparently they did. Yeah. There's some hope for that.
Mm-hmm. Now he's also emphasized that his number one priority is building relationships with the creative community. So that all mostly seems very positive. Then there was another, I think it was Variety came out with this article, Warner Brothers Discovery exploring overhaul of DC Entertainment, which is not, you know, we knew that was going to happen. And, I don't necessarily think he's wrong here. Zaslav, the CEO of the, company said, they're toying with the idea of turning DC into his own solidified content vertical.
Mm.
The move would potentially affect DC feature film development in the Warner Brothers Pictures Group, streaming series at Warner Brothers Television, and the creative arm within DC proper, all in an effort to have the disparate elements more closely aligned in order to maximize the value of the superhero stable, one often seen as punching up against Marvel. And it says, before the merger closed, Zaslav vetted candidates with experience in creating and nurturing blockbuster intellectual property with a goal of potentially finding someone to serve as a creative and strategic czar similar to what Marvel has in Kevin Feige. One of those candidates included Emma Watts, a former top film executive at 20th Century Studios and Paramount. But it does not appear that Watts will take the job. No shit. I'll do it. I will.
Have to find someone that has nothing to lose to take right. that job as it stands right now.
I'm willing to learn. I have no experience, but I have seen every Marvel film except for Eternals and Shang-Chi.
Those are both really good, by the way.
They're on my roster. I'm going to get to them eventually. Mm-hmm. But you know, if I could just float this out to the cosmos, you know, I'm trying to manifest it.
Sure. Secret it. Yeah.
Me and you could do that shit together. We'd run the most profitable DC films ever.
I don't know if anything that was profitable. I think me and you could collectively run a shifty version of things that was the thing we liked the most.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure we would get anything to an actual theater at some point because that takes a whole set of experiences that I don't know if we have. But
we probably don't know.
And but, yeah, by that I mean we do not have. So yeah, like if you were just like I would love to be just if me and you could just like sit in a quiet room, some side room, some dressing room or something,
mm-hmm.
and occasionally someone just asks like, so where should we go with this story? And it, I almost imagine me like, you know, pulling a joint out of my mouth and handing it to you, and you know, we take a puff and just say, I think right. we should do this with it.
Uh-huh. See, here's the thing. Like, what we would have to do is hire someone underneath us
yeah.
who answered to us but actually knew what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
then we would just have veto power.
Oh, we need what a stage manager on the lower levels of how this works. Yeah.
Yeah. And we could sit in the back room smoking weed and going, no, no, no. Did you look at that? Did you look at my memo about Detective Chimp? This character
has to show up here eventually. Over here.
Rodney. Don't. Rodney, look at me. Stop listening to Jason. Did you look at my memo regarding Detective Chimp?
It was all just illustrations. I didn't know what you were saying. Jason wrote two paragraphs. I went with what he said.
Yeah, Rodney, you have to understand. Okay. I'm fairly certain Detective Chimp is DC's best version of Thanos.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Of course. Rodney, you did a great job. Grab a bagel. Can you bring me back?
He's the world's
fourth greatest detective. Everything bagel.
And he's a
chimp. Don't forget Schmear.
And an otter. A small baby otter.
Tomorrow, platypus. Let's keep it lively.
I require a walrus and a tuxedo. Anyway. It's for my creative process. Anyway.
Want a cheeseburger every 2 hours. I'll only eat every third.
Yeah. One insider suggested that Zaslav was less interested in finding a creative guru and more eager to hire someone who had the type of business background needed to keep all the different factions at DC working harmoniously.
Mm-hmm.
Zaslav apparently believes that the success of the merger, according to insiders, one that has left the company highly leveraged, by the way, will rest in no small part on unlocking the full potential of the DC Comics universe of characters. Discovery insiders believe that although DC has achieved cinematic success with recent films such as Aquaman and the Batman, it lacks a coherent creative and brand strategy. Can't agree more. Discovery believes that several top shelf characters such as Superman have been left to languish and need to be revitalized.
Yeah,
they also believe that projects like Todd Phillips' Joker are a shining example of how second build characters from the DC library can and should be exploited. Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn is another example. Change,
dear God.
Yep.
I'm waiting to hear something wrong. So far, this manifesto is actually pretty accurate.
Yeah, man.
I would love to hear that, like, Zaslav and, you know, Cavill got on the phone at some point. Well, apparently he's filming Witcher right now, but I suppose yep. he tucked his wig back and put a phone up to his ear for a second. I would hope.
The company believes that DC must do more to grow its approach to comic book fare, including bolstering gaming. Again, agreed. Under Walter Hamada, who took over DC Films from John Berg and Geoff Johns in 2018, the unit has achieved more consistency in terms of both the critical and commercial reception to the company's movies. He is under contract until the end of 2023 and could play an important role in whatever Zaslav has planned. Again, I'm kind of wondering. And I think it will depend on how Black Adam does. I think it'll depend on how Aquaman 2 does. I think it'll depend on, you know, how this whole slate, The Flash, all this shit
yeah,
that's coming. I think that is heavily, involved in whether he keeps Hamada around. Because Hamada's contract is up in 2023. Again, it might just be you've done all right. We'll see what happens. And, you know...
Probably. Maybe we let you go. Choices Maybe have been made on his watch.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good time to see how that works out.
Yep.
And Hamada was definitely a party to some absolute bullshit, but
mm-hmm.
it's hard to say. Like it, given, let's say, look at the last 9 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say. Like, did it get better or worse? Probably worse overall as far as the general narrative, but there have been some billion-dollar things here and there. So
Right.
If you're just coming in fresh and just saw like all the disparate things and you weren't as involved as like you and I are, for instance, is that like thinking about it every day, it would be hard to kind of get your head around it. Like, okay, listen, so we did this thing over here that meant nothing and it made all the money. We did all these other things over here. They made all the money and no one cared and everyone hated it. We did this other thing that should have made all the money based on that, and it made none of the money and everyone hated it. I'm confused right now about the narrative in general because you keep using the same actors, and I'm just wondering, is there a plan? And then the whole boardroom is going to look at you and go, yeah, so that's why we hired you. Oh fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'll be in my office for like 3 weeks.
Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Probably countless times, the executives at Warner Media or Warner Brothers Discovery need to understand what they're dealing with. This is not a Marvel situation. Marvel Studios bolstered basically unknown characters and found tremendous success.
That's,
they pulled off a feat. Okay,
that's kind of the thing. Like Marvel and DC have just been subsisting for a long time.
Well, yes, but
Marvel just Warner Brothers ripped some B-line characters out of the muck, made some movies out of them, and is suddenly a billion-dollar industry.
And I think because Zaslav says, let's see, he pledged to find $3 billion in synergies in the newly merged company, a signal of how important cost-cutting will be to Warner Brothers' new owners. Mining DC's library of characters could help control spending as Warner Brothers Discovery owns the underlying intellectual property. Now look, like this is what I've been saying is like, you know, they might start like hitting up, you know, really B grade characters for real because there's no emotion tied to them because, you know, unlike Marvel, DC has had so many iterations on film and TV of the beloved characters of Batman, of Superman, of Wonder Woman, you know, all of these, you know, we have this group. There's like a faction of critics who are angry that Adam West and Christopher Reeve are dead.
Yeah.
And apparently blame Warner Brothers for it. We have a faction of, you know, critics who grew up on Batman the Animated Series and Superman the Animated Series and are just pissed that they're not going Paul Dini way. Like, they want to see that.
Yeah.
And then we have, like, a whole faction who just wants Michael Keaton. We have a whole faction who just wants Robert Pattinson now. We have just a whole faction that just wants Zack Snyder. And, man, it's just keeps splintering. And I've been talking about this for years. It's... Everyone thinks that their Batman is the real Batman, for instance. Nobody gives a shit about Booster Gold. You know how much I've seen about like people angry that Donald Faison is playing Booster Gold over on Legends of Tomorrow? No one cares. I haven't seen it once.
I'm genuinely excited.
I am too. Fantastic. Like, he did a fantastic job for what he had. And, that is actually one that I hope gets renewed because I would love to see his story continue. So anyway, hopefully they understand that DC and Marvel are not the same. Yes, they are technically considered competitors, but they are not the same. They're very different. And the narrative has been for so long now because there's that other faction of critics who were like little kids when Marvel started their shit in 2008 and are now like 20 something. Mm-hmm. And they are never going to accept DC as anything other than a knockoff of Marvel for some reason.
Well, you grow up with things. I mean, and
you grow up with things,
but
and you have your bias and
they
sat on the toilet for too long, man, without taking a shit. That was the problem. Like the old Warner Brothers over here doing Chris Nolan movies and being like, not yet on Justice League. Not yet. Not yet. Let's not build it up yet. Chris Nolan doesn't like superpowers. He likes to be realistic.
Yeah.
Now, let's go ahead and okay him, you know, sticking a magic knee brace onto Bruce Wayne.
And then at the same time, they're going to make a Green Lantern thing that not even Ryan Reynolds apparently watched, which is better than it was given credit,
better.
But still.
It is better than
the extended cut, but mind you. But
it was a 2004 superhero movie in 2011.
Yeah.
that was his greatest sin.
Yeah. And I think the CGI had mostly to do with the fact that it was like, oh my God, we're going to put this in 3D. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But in retrospect, they just have different narratives as both a company and a creative mechanism. So it doesn't matter as much as people think it does in the terms of like comparing anything, really. Just honestly, right. Anything between the words DC and Marvel. Like Marvel, short of this little uptick where they started a company, and by the way, failed at the first couple of movies. Managed to get a home Hulk run.
Not great.
No.
I'll watch Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds before Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Any damn day. Any damn day.
Was not fantastic. So and speaking of fantastic, like they didn't knock it out of the park. And then they finally got something. They get into Disney territory with all the extra money. And I'm not sure that necessarily would have mattered. But clearly the people who sold did think that mattered. So let's just trust their financials and assume that they wouldn't have been able to keep going on that because, frankly, there was a trajectory. That's why Disney was interested. They probably didn't have the capital to actually make it happen. Mm-hmm. So they trusted Disney to do that, and they took their cut and all that. Like, that's how business works.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they kept it going. And it's gone well, but it was – like, what was Marvel going to do short of that? Like, let's say they made, you know, the Incredible Hulk movie, and it failed. Mm-hmm. Like, it kind of did. Like, what was the next step if, you know, John Favreau and Robert Downey didn't step in and make something?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same thing that would have happened to any other franchise. They would have just, you know, made some TV stuff, made some movies. Like, yeah. You do the same goddamn thing every time. You just try to make something until it takes off, and thankfully – I say this as a fan. Thankfully, Marvel did what they needed to do, capitalize, sold it to Disney, get all the capital they fucking need to sell everything to everyone and make those movies. And dear God, I've loved this franchise.
Yeah. Now, look, you know, I am all for creative freedom. But at the same time, these are giant crossing over superhero movies. And I do think DC needs a Kevin Feige of sorts. That's not to say that I don't think that they should have okay, yeah, Matt Reeves, auteur director, comes in and says, I want to do this shit with the Batman. And they're like, sure, cool. Separate universe, it's not part of the DCEU or whatever we're calling it. That's fine. But for the DCEU, there needs to be someone steering the freaking ship. And a perfect example of like how this wouldn't have worked at Marvel, this like total creative freedom. If you'll recall, back in 2008 or 2010, whatever it was, everyone was saying, oh, John Favreau, I beseech thee.
Oh, he bounced as soon as they mentioned magic.
Shall you be making Avengers? And he said, no, I don't think Thor fits into Iron Man's world. I just don't see it. I just can't wrap my brain around how that works. And I'm over here screaming at the page.
It was very Nolan-y.
I was over here screaming at it, going like, magic is technology we don't understand yet. Why do you not get this, John Favreau? You're seemingly a very bright individual. But yeah, like...
I've made some very open-minded, expansive movies. What the hell is the knowledge gap here? Yeah.
And then, you know, like, I am not a smart man. Even I understand. What is happening? So then you know, thankfully you had Kevin Feige and people over at Marvel going, kid, this is the way we going. This is the way we doing it.
Well, the unfortunate part is that there's no one at
DC. And he admitted he was wrong. That.
And he admitted it as much, and he's been a part of the franchise going forward. So
in ways.
Yeah.
Though he's pretty much,
he's happy, between, so to speak.
Between him and that guy over at the guy who wrote Clone Wars, I think they're pretty much running Star Wars these days.
Oh, yeah. No. Seriously. Yeah. John Favreau did not lack for employment afterwards. That was not a problem for him.
No. In much the same way
that like all our problems with Christopher Nolan, he's doing all right. He's doing all right.
Like, yeah, he's not hurting.
I'm not going to send him $20.
No. He's ain't not on the, he's not on the corner with an eye patch and a tin cuff or anything.
Yeah, he's fine.
He dried his tears with his hundreds and thousands of millions of dollars and moved on to a proper studio.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho.
And so on.
Like I said, Jason Kyler gone. Andy Forsell of HBO Max, that he was the chief over there, he's gone. Ann Sarnoff, gone. But Walter Hamada, Warner Brothers president, is still there. And the chairman of WB Pictures Group, Toby Emmerich, is still there. We'll see how all that plays out, because I don't know. All right, let's move on to some other stuff, though.
Fair enough.
As of yesterday, when I wrote this down, and no, I'm not looking it up to see if it changed any, the Batman's film gross was $752,817,661. It is now on HBO Max, by the way, and Samba TV, which isn't a perfect measurement by any stretch, but they're saying it had smart TV terrestrial households that tuned in for at least 5 minutes were 720,000 U.S. households on the first day the Batman dropped on HBO Max.
I was one of those.
I was not.
I only made it that far in, but before my daughter tried to hop in the bed and sleep with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's not necessarily a movie I'm going to share with her at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to probably watch like Bob Ross or something.
Right.
It's not a nighttime movie for a three-year-old.
Yeah. Now, Samba was the company that previously reported the total weekend viewership numbers of recent DC movies, Wonder Woman 1984, Zack Snyder's Justice League, The Suicide Squad, in their first 3 days online. According to them, 2.2 million HBO Max households tuned in for at least 5 minutes of Wonder Woman 1984 over Christmas weekend 2020. 1.8 million watched the Snyder Cut over its first 4 days in March 2021. And 2.8 million households streamed the day and date release of The Suicide Squad in this opening weekend last summer. So we'll see. I mean, 720,000 seems low compared to some of those numbers, but at the same time, this is like the first day, not weekend. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. That seems impressive for a day.
Substantial, yeah.
Someone pointed out that on Twitter, exactly 31 minutes and 55 seconds into the Batman, you can actually see the Riddler in the window opposite the Iceberg Lounge.
Hmm.
And then asked Matt Reeves to confirm. And Matt Reeves said, indeed, I can confirm 100%. So, like, he was right there under our noses the whole time. We saw him and we didn't even realize it.
Nice.
There's like this like establishing shot. I watched the scene. There's an establishing shot and you see like a window on. And sure enough, there the bastard is just standing there. Like watching the Iceberg Lounge. And it made me feel a little bit like, man, I didn't think about it. But why didn't Batman and Gordon wonder like, where is this camera shooting all these pictures of politicians from? Because it was that window. Anyway, I feel like the lantern was hung on that as well when they didn't know Spanish and Penguin cracked him up and said, oh, the world's greatest detectives.
Oh, there are a couple things in that yeah, just like that, where yeah, there is much to learn, but mm-hmm. I like that aspect of it too.
Mm-hmm. I do too. So we're getting the Batman on Blu-ray and 4K on May 24th. That's going to be, you know, all the things, DVD as well. And they're going to have a bunch of special features, but they don't have like actual descriptions so far for all that bullshit. So I ain't getting into that.
Mm-hmm.
so they're going to put out, and this is, looks like July 5th, they're going to release Black Adam, the Justice Society, Secret Files, Hawkman number 1. It's a comic book tie-in. All right. And, you know, they're touting it as canon right now, but I don't care because these tie-in comics are never canon. If, you know, they always like pretend to be before the movie's released. And then like when Black Adam 2 or whatever comes out, suddenly it's just like, eh, I mean, you remember the David Goyer Supergirl thing, the Man of Steel prequel that Walmart released with Verizon or some shit? And then, like, it was like, oh, the busted pod was Kara, but in the Kara Zor-El, but in the, you know, prehistoric age or some shit. They never went back to that. None of that ever mattered. They're not going back to that. What about the comic book tie-ins they did with Dr. Pepper with Batman v Superman?
That was a fun moment.
Black Adam tie-in comics. Okay,
cool. If it's under Secret Files, maybe. That's a certain amount of legitimacy here. But
right. But they will consist of a series. They will consist of a series of one-shots spotlighting the members of the film's ensemble.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on.
It'll be like the Flash. Some amount of background that could, you could give or take, given what you're going to see later.
Mm-hmm. All right. So over to the Flash, or as I'm going to call it, WBT Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
we got some Ezra Miller updates. So Rolling Stone came out and said that Warner Brothers had an emergency meeting to determine the fate of Ezra Miller following their arrest and the restraining order that couple put on them when Ezra threatened to burn them,
Yeah.
And then also, according to the Rolling Stone article, there were frequent meltdowns, quote unquote, that reportedly occurred during the production of The Flash. And the report said they've hit pause on any future projects involving Miller. Then IGN came out and their source rebuked the original story from Rolling Stone and said no such emergency meeting took place. Those claims are an exaggeration. But the initial reporting came from Rolling Stone's Tatiana Siegel, who was a former writer for The Hollywood Reporter. She has a lot of credibility to her name. She was the one that broke a few stories about the abusive behavior of producer Scott Rudin, for example, and how WB severed ties with Johnny Depp. And even without that knowledge, I'm going to tell you, they had an emergency meeting about Ezra Miller. They had an emergency meeting about Ezra Miller, y'all.
that would be standard, frankly.
Yeah. Don't believe that shit. They had that meeting.
Yeah.
Now, it's a roller coaster, though, because the couple who filed the restraining order against Ezra, they filed to dismiss it with prejudice. And now it's been dismissed with prejudice. That means that they cannot refile the same claim again in that court. So apparently they had a change of heart.
Of course.
And then comes this. Ezra Miller reportedly has been arrested a second time outside of Hawaii just hours before their scheduled court appearance regarding disorderly conduct and harassment charges.
As one does.
So Miller was arrested on charges of second degree assault shortly after 1 a.m. on Tuesday, April 19th, 2022. A 29-year-old visitor from Vermont was arrested for second degree assault after an incident at a residence in Paihoa, I think. That's from the Hawaiian Police Department. And there was a get-together at a big private residence. And during the course of the investigation, police determined that the individual later identified as Ezra Miller became irate after being asked to leave and reportedly threw a chair, striking a 26-year-old female on the forehead, resulting in an approximate half-inch cut. She refused treatment for her injury. Ezra left and was found around 1:30 a.m. during a traffic stop about 15 miles away. And after conferring with the county prosecutor's office at 4:05 a.m. on Tuesday morning, Miller was released pending further investigation. This is an active investigation, the Hawaii police said. All right, well.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm. The hell? So, I don't know. And believe me, there was another emergency meeting about Ezra Miller. And then right after that, DC delayed Ezra Miller's Flash movie prequel series, but the artist says that it hasn't been canceled, hasn't been pushed back because of Ezra. It will be printed later this year, so there won't be such a gap between the comic and the movie, which makes sense. But as I have previously mentioned, prequel comics, tie-in comics don't matter because they're not really canon.
Yeah, most of the time. But it getting pushed back is not the worst thing as far as the...
No. Ezra. It would make sense if it was pushed back just because of the changing release date, honestly.
Mm-hmm. You'd want to have that be like a primer for the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dave here popping in on the night of the edit, just a little more than a day and a half after we recorded. Some new troubling things have surfaced. Some old troubling things that I was unaware of have surfaced. And I saw a lot of this kind of popping off in segments on Twitter and looked into it and got a really good rundown on the Daily Dot, which is where most of this comes from. On April 23rd, in a viral TikTok, creator Mia Solange, who uses they-them pronouns, posted a series of photos allegedly taken in 2019 of themselves and Ezra Miller. The photos seem to indicate an intimate relationship. The video uses the trending sound from the animated film Coraline, in which a character says, "You are in terrible danger." In the caption, Solange added, "You took everything from me. Ezra Miller is not a good human. And I can finally say so without being terrified. Hashtag abuser." Now, on April 1st, Mia's story was shared by Rin at Lots of Gay Crimes, who, by the way, also uses they-them pronouns. And Rin was sharing screenshots of Instagram messages between them and Solange. Solange says, "This motherfucker is off his fucking rocker. I remember he flew me from Hawaii to Oklahoma to work on a movie with him, and my flight was canceled for some shit, and he literally cussed out the person who was trying to help me fix my flight. I was like, yo, it's literally okay. We were having sex one time, and he knows I use they-them pronouns, and still stroked my hair and said, 'Good girl.' Mind you, I am 19. So that was a couple of years ago. You know, Ezra is 29 now, so, you know, iffy age gap there. In another message, Solange claimed that Miller hasn't really threatened them, but when they were physical, Miller would bite the shit out of them. Rin also added a photo of Solange and Miller in the three... Sorry. Rin added photos of Solange and Miller in the Twitter thread, including a photo of Solange's alleged bruised leg. And the Daily Dot goes on to say, and this is all, I had no idea about anything of this. Crazy. This isn't the first time Rin has spoken publicly about the author. In fact, their Instagram is dedicated to exposing the actor's alleged harassment against them and others. Rin's account at vintage.devil has been sharing screenshots and messages of alleged stalking behavior as far back as 2017 when they used to run a Miller fan blog on Tumblr, Prince-Ezra-Miller. When reached for comment, Rin told the Daily Dot that Miller has, quote, ruined their life and made their life a living hell. According to Rin, the celebrity allegedly exhibited stalking behaviors by copying their outfits and sending anonymous asks on Tumblr after they met in 2017. Rin said they attended a Sons of an Illustrious Father concert, a band Miller is a part of that is now known as Odkin, it's hard to say, where they gave Miller drawings containing Rin's dead name. This led Rin to believe Miller was able to connect the popular anonymous Tumblr blog to them. Shortly after, Rin claimed they began to receive suspicious asks on Tumblr and site visits from an IP address linking back to Warner Brothers Entertainment. Miller obviously was working on The Flash back then, in the DCEU. Rin's Instagram account documented the traps they laid out to prove the actor had allegedly been following their every move. According to Rin, they decided to question Miller directly by emailing them in January of 2018. After receiving no response for weeks, Rin uploaded their story on BuzzFeed as a contributor. Immediately, the post was taken down. On January 27th, 2018, Wren said they received an email from Miller's bandmate, Lila Larson, sent back an email to Wren asking her to stop giving us such a hard time. I get that you're hurting and things are hard, but we're really not your enemy, the email reads. You'll find that whoever was doing whatever you think we were doing was none of us. The email address the message came from is confirmed to be associated with the band at the time. Larson then allegedly implored Wren to seek help for their mental health, and that there's no shame in that. They work overtime to try and silence me, Wren told the Daily Dot. Later that June, Wren said they were served an ex parte, allegedly on behalf of Miller. That is an emergency restraining order, and Wren's case involving scans of one of their Instagram posts containing a real gun and captions inciting violence, according to screenshots on their Instagram. However, the case was later dismissed in October when Wren moved from Indiana to New York City, as they claim Ezra was trying to meet up with them in Brooklyn. Wren said there has been no other contact from Miller or their bandmates since then. However, they said Miller continued to copy them into 2020. After that, Wren said they stopped posting on Instagram up until this year when Miller made headlines with multiple arrests. So, there's also... not the Daily Dot, but there was all over TikTok. Because here's the thing, Mia Solange, her profile is now private. You can't find that video. You can find people who have duetted the video and have taken screenshots from the video. There is some weird stuff in some of those pictures that she shared or that they shared. So there's some, like, you know, pentagrams, some on, like, etched in the wall, some weird demonic looking symbols. I don't know what to think about any of this, man. Like, look, man, if you're into some of this stuff, okay, whatever. But, you know, when you start messing up your walls, I'm starting to get concerned. Anyway, who knows, man? But yeah, this has gotten serious. Honestly, I personally think it's time for WB to move on from Ezra. And scrap the Flash, man. Scrap it. Man. And by the way, that Michael Keaton suit leaked, and we don't know if it's from the Flash or from Batgirl. You saw this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I am pleased in some ways that it looks so very similar to the Batman Returns costume. I personally prefer the 1989 costume. But there's another part of me that was just like, man, I would really like to see, like, an updated version. And it kind of is, but, like, at the very least, like, let him move his neck. And it still doesn't look like he can. Like, they're still not going to let him move his neck. We got Ben Affleck running around in here moving his neck from side to side.
Well.
I was like, maybe it's a precautionary measure because he's, like, 70.
There's that. And, you know, it wasn't until the Bell movies that someone asked to move the neck.
That's true. Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the lantern there. He can keep it on his neck that he can't move.
Mm-hmm.
Just hang it over an ear.
Real quick on Aquaman 2. I just got to talk about it briefly. You're aware of all this bullshit with Amber Heard and Johnny Depp?
Vaguely, yeah.
And he's suing her for defamation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So Warner Brothers... apparently initially declined to pick up Heard's option for Aquaman 2. This comes from Walter Hamada, who gave a deposition. They had said no. They weren't picking her back up for Aquaman 2 because of concerns about her chemistry with Jason Momoa. And stuff with Johnny Depp, all the bullshit coming out. It says Heard was eventually picked up for Aquaman 2 and has since filmed her role in the film, but reportedly was not able to negotiate a fee increase for the sequel. Heard's team claims that is a result of the scandal involving her relationship with Depp, and per the report, Heard also claims that she hasn't booked any further lucrative roles or endorsements due to the issues with Depp, and the report suggests, quote, expert testimony could back up her claim. Well... shit just keeps coming out that proves that she was awful.
Yeah.
Did you, there's a clip that's actually really funny where she's like, someone's testifying against her and says that she was like complaining that, you know, she didn't want to be around Johnny and his friends because they were all just a bunch of old men playing their guitars and that shit was boring. And when they said that in court, Johnny just chuckled. He was like,
I feel like that's Depp living his best life. So yeah, I can understand the chuckle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, why wouldn't he want it? Okay.
That's how he wants to retire.
Uh-huh. We've got some stuff from James Gunn here that's kind of interesting. I had previously talked about some of this, but on the show, and there was a clarification here, and James said, what I said was there are presently no characters at either Marvel or DC that I want to be working with right now that I am not. And yes, I know it's either obtuse or linguistically Olympian, depending on your point of view. Whatever the case, I'm currently working on a lot of projects, well done, including sir. including a few unknown to the general public, and I'm speaking for where I am right this moment, not tomorrow or next year or 5 years down the line. And someone asked, I have a question on this. You've said that your favorite DC movie is probably Superman 2 and that you've seen it plenty of times. So I'm curious, why aren't you interested in making a Superman movie? And James Gunn says, I don't remember having said I wasn't interested in that. That said, just because I love beef stroganoff doesn't mean I have a desire to make it. Which I enjoyed.
Yeah,
and fair enough. I thought I should pass on to our listeners sitting on the edge of their seats, all a Twitter, waiting for us to speak our golden syllables into their ears.
You lost me there. I fell asleep for a second.
I know.
Yeah.
So the wrap.
Mm-hmm.
The wrap. Remember last time, the last episode we did, we were talking about how Sharon Stone was going to be playing Ted Kord's wife, Victoria Kord?
Sure.
All right. Well, that didn't happen. That fell through. But the rap says that Susan Sarandon has been tapped for that part now. I was kind of hoping for Sharon Stone.
Oh, sure.
I'm not a big Susan Sarandon fan.
Yeah, I've never seen her do bad in a role.
Yeah, I haven't either. I just something about her. One of those chemical reactions we've talked about. Where I'm just like, But she's a villain, so I guess I'm supposed to not like her.
That may work out for you. Yeah,
it might. Yeah. All right, and more bullshit. Marvel
and further Marvel's, bullshit news. What else we got?
Marvel's Eternals and the Batman star Barry Keoghan arrested in Dublin.
God, how is one of the most oft-used phrases on the planet not arrested in Dublin? Just in right. general.
So authorities responded to a noise complaint.
General, like, shot in New York, arrested in Dublin, accused of racism in Alabama. Like, those should be just top of the line. We hear these phrases every day. Gotcha.
It's an axiom.
Yeah. We all know this is how the world works. We're good here.
Yeah. So the authorities said they responded to a noise complaint from a man who heard a ruckus outside of his window. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, Keoghan wasn't threatening, but merely having a little bit too much fun outside. Witnesses corroborated the story, and the incident has come to a close and been resolved. A fixed charge notice means that the person in custody is released without any legal proceedings. So we don't have, you know, an Ezra Miller thing. There's been no statement from anyone, Marvel or DC. Not really a thing. Just, you know, kind of bad to keep seeing all these superheroes getting thrown in jail.
Well, sure, but it also sounds like he was just arrested for having too much fun loud.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, no big deal. All right. Let's just call it a day. Everyone go to sleep.
Yeah. There's movement on the Wonder Twins movie.
Oh, cool.
Alien siblings, Zan and Jaina. One turns into animals, one turns into water.
Mm-hmm. I'm still very confused about...
I've seen so many people so angry that this is being made. But anyway, I'm interested. I'm curious. I, you know, Wonder Twin powers activate. Let's do this shit.
One of them showed up in the DC versus vampires thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out like the first leaguer who was turned into a vampire was Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he literally made like a whole blender and put Xan into it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And drank him and was very disappointed about the mix.
Well,
wasn't a good drink.
He's an alien. So,
you know, just a mediocre meal, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was a McDonald's kind of situation.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
So, Xan and Jaina have been cast.
Mm-hmm.
The rap has confirmed that, KJ Apa of Riverdale, the guy plays Archie on Riverdale.
Of course.
Yeah, he's going to be Xan. And Isabel May of Alexa and Katie in 1883 has been cast as Jaina. And, you know, I don't know anything of hers. I do want to watch 1883 because it looks fantastic. But yeah, production is supposedly set to begin in Atlanta this summer. And Adam Ezekiel of Black Adam and Scoob mm-hmm. is lined up to write and direct. So, you know, I'm very interested to see what they're going to be doing with the Wonder Twins. It, you know, it's a weird property. It's a weird little nugget from DC canon, or, you know, just this part of the lore, man, Super Friends. But that's all the movie news I got.
Oh,
do you like, we've got a little bit of TV news. Do you want to take a quick break and come back?
Sounds good.
All right, man. Well, don't nobody go nowhere.
See you then.
And we return. What if I just started doing the show like Jim Perry?
Wait, which one?
Jim Perry from Euphemet. You know, there were like the old shows where he talked like a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
And now, though, like since he came back with the second season or whatever, now he talks like this all the time.
Yeah.
Like everything he says is so profound.
I mean, we all want to be David Attenborough, but it's not going to happen.
I mean, he's making it. Anyway, you know, man, as I wake up every morning, mm-hmm. my brain just starts to rush me with all the shit I have to do that day.
Yeah.
And then I am.
It's like Galaga, but, you know.
It really is.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm thankful for the little things that I don't have to worry about. The you know, shooting your own ship down to make a double barrel, for instance.
Right.
And since you're talking about Galaga, like before I go to bed, I stock the fridge with Diet Coke. You know, make sure I have that. I make sure I have a pair of, if not clean, reasonably dry socks to wear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And on that list is making sure I have an appropriately comfortable as balls pair of MeUndies available,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
especially on days with a lot of shit to take care of.
Yeah. It'll take one thing off the agenda.
Mm-hmm. MeUndies wants to add to that list for you too. You can start your mornings with your favorite underwear and they will be your favorite underwear. It's a simple hope, but Einstein, it's so important. Einstein used
to wear the same outfit every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, you know, these aren't just any underwear, Jason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. They've sent them to you. These are ridiculously soft undies.
They are.
With ridiculous prints that make picking out underwear actually fun.
Yeah. They're very comfy.
You know, just the most fun part to me is just going, oh, I have me undies. Yeah. Like, oh, these are, oh, yeah. Like, it's what I've converted my entire family, mm-hmm. pretty much. Like, my wife is anxiously awaiting a bra or a couple of bras from MeUndies right now. You know, like.
Yeah, my wife has some.
I was very, very excited. I went up to check the mail the other day and I had another pair of underwear. They just sent them to me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I was not expecting them. I'm sure the neighbor thought I was crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
anyway.
No joke. We have one of those brick mailboxes where the mail itself is encased. It was infected by ants. Mm-hmm. And no exaggeration whatsoever. I saved the MeUndies. because they came in an actually like package where I could just rinse that shit off. Mm-hmm. But dear God, yeah, the rest of the it was bad in there. The ants had won. Yeah, it was over.
Well, I mean, you know, my sister, I had gotten her on the train, and she just called me out of the blue the other day and was just like, "So I got the socks."
Nice.
And I was like, "Yeah." And she said, "I these are the first socks I've ever had where I didn't feel the seam."
Yeah.
"These are the most comfortable socks I have ever worn." I said, "I know. I told you. I wasn't I'm not blowing smoke up your ass."
Yeah.
"I wouldn't tell you, hey, go buy this shit if it wasn't, you know, dope as hell."
Yeah. They're actually good.
And they do. BeUndies makes the softest fabrics you've ever put on your body. Mm-hmm. So you can sit on your couch all day. You can go out in the most comfortable way possible. You can trudge through your miserable workaday life. Once you try their undies, socks, bralettes, and loungewear, you will never go back. Choose from a range of limited edition prints and colors and sizes from extra small to 4XL. You know what that means? It means they don't want to say extra big. 4XL just sounds nice.
Oh, yeah. No. It's up there for you, big guy. It's up there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can get it too.
You can also sign up for their free to join MeUndies membership, where you get a monthly subscription that sends new styles right to your door. Plus, enjoy up to 30% off on virtually everything we make. Well, not us, but them. They. Free shipping and returns on every order, early access to new launches, and exclusive members-only sales. MeUndies has a fantastic offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you will get 15% off. To get that 15% off, your first order, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/DCOS. That's MeUndies.com/DCOS. That stands for DC on screen, y'all. Whew. All right. Well, now that I've gotten that out of my system, mm-hmm. I sure wish they were paying us.
Back to the conversations about underwear.
Man, so, yeah, DC's Dead Boys. I wish
deeply, like, we were about to talk about Underwear Man.
I know. Dead Boy Detectives got a series order from HBO Max.
Hell yeah. Thank you. And also yep. this. Yes. Fantastic. Yep.
Now it's not the two guys that we knew from the Doom Patrol.
I know.
Yeah. It's been ordered to series, 8 episodes. It is being described as a vintage detective series, only darker and on acid. The characters originally debuted within the pages of The Sandman and were created by Neil Gaiman and Matt Wagner. Says Dead Boy Detectives offers a fresh take on a ghost story that explores loss, grief, and death through the lens of Edwin Payne, newcomer George Rextrew, and Charles Rowland, the Lodge's Jaden Reverie. Two dead British teenagers and their very alive friend, Crystal Palace, who was in Last Night in Soho. Additional series stars include Brianna Cuoco, the flight attendant, and Harley Quinn as Jenny the Butcher, Yu Kitamura, the expatriates, as Nico, and Jin Lion, Claws, and Justified as Esther. Ruth Connell of Supernatural also reprises her role as the night nurse from the Dead Patrol episode of Doom Patrol.
Nice.
The series is show run by Doom Patrol and the flight attendants, Steve Yockey, who also wrote the pilot episode, which is directed by Superman and Lois's Lee Tolan Krieger. Yockey, Jeremy Carver of Doom Patrol and Supernatural, Greg Berlanti, You and The Flash, and Sarah Schechter, the flight attendant, and You are executive producers on the series. The series is produced by Berlanti Productions in association with Warner Brothers Television. And I'm down for this, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm round and down. And we've got some updates on when we can expect to see some season finales over on the CW. Tuesday, May 10th is the season one finale of Naomi. Tuesday, June 21st is the season two finale of Superman and Lois. And Wednesday, June 29th is the season 8 finale of The Flash. Now, We do know that The Flash is renewed for season 9. We have word Jesse L. Martin, who plays Detective Joe West on The Flash, will leave the show as a series regular at the end of season 8. Now, according to Deadline, there is also a very good chance that the 9th season of The Flash will be its last, and that it will be heavily abbreviated. We do know that Joe is only signed up to be on like as many as 5 episodes of season 9.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, we might be ending The Flash, and I think that's really for the best.
Anything going on that long should probably call it a day.
Yeah. We got Rahart Adams cast in Gotham Knights. This is a guy who was in Pacific Rim Uprising. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he's going to be in a lead role in CW's Gotham Knights. And that's, you know, where I would expect someone who was in Pacific Rim Uprising to end up. It's like, I was in a major motion picture, and now I'm on the CW.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel some shade.
From me?
Yeah, being thrown around here.
A little bit.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's like, I loved Pacific Rim, and the trailers for Pacific Rim Uprising were so bad, I never watched it. I just couldn't do it. It just looked so bad.
I forgot it existed.
That's also a real thing.
Yeah.
But there's a reason for that.
Don't feel any need to excuse myself for that. I just forgot it existed, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll probably get back to that at some point. You know, for posterity's sake, but that's it.
Mm-hmm. Katie Cassidy, who played Black Canary on Arrow, says that she is open to returning. I bet she is. No. She's got other things going on. I'm just playing. She did say she was ready to do different things, but she would love to return for, you know, she said, it's not to say she's gone. I'd happily go on any of the other shows. And she also said she has no regrets about Green Arrow and the Canaries getting shelved, which, what a coincidence. I don't either.
It wasn't going to be my favorite property if they did it.
So. No. And this is funny because I Katie Cassidy said, I say this in the most respectful, kind, realistic way. We really, really milked that cow. Like, come on. You evolve, you grow, I love learning and I love acting, but also I started in features and I'm stepping back into them. I'm directing this movie with Marina Studios that I'm also producing called Daddy Issues. I'm writing and tapping into this creative side of me that I've never had time to because I've been acting. I've loved acting my whole life, but I want to grow. Fair.
I like her stretching her legs. I also don't necessarily disagree about that, but caveat here, I don't know how many times I've thought the CW was doing that, and then it turned out it was really good. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It could have been interesting. I just don't know.
Well, and I know it hasn't been lately. Got
better and better as she went on.
She did. They finally figured out her voice.
Yeah. Like, it you know, first half or second half here. Ooh, second half's just miles ahead.
Mm-hmm. And we got some update from Patrick Schumacher on Harley Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Season 3, he says, I do know the release date, but I'm not allowed to tell. It is going to be in the time of year that rhymes with Schmummer.
Of 2026.
Don't say that. Don't say that shit, Jason. You're pissing me off now. Have you kept up at all with Young Justice?
Oh.
Phantoms?
No. I watched half the first episode and... No hate for it. I just tried to watch it while I was, you know, holding my phone and my 3-year-old was watching Frozen in the background and
mm-hmm.
she jumped on me and bounced my phone. So, just haven't gotten to it.
So, there's a thing.
Uh-huh.
I haven't watched it. I watched that first HBO or DC Universe season that they put out. And I felt like I was so behind because they jump ahead in time and they just don't explain things very well sometimes on that show. And like I didn't remember, even though I had just watched all of it leading up to it, I didn't remember some of the stuff. I was like, wait, hold on. What are we doing now?
Mm-hmm.
Several times. So, and I really didn't remember by the time this season came out. So I just never got back to it. But here's an interesting thing. They brought in the Red Lantern Razor from Green Lantern, the animated series, and have apparently really connected the storyline. Because, you know, Green Lantern, the animated series got canceled without resolving their shit. So they're actually like kind of like tying up some storylines from Green Lantern, the animated series, and Young Justice to some degree. And fans were kind of freaking out, and they asked, I think it was Greg Wiseman, and if it was in the same universe, and he said adjacent. So, yeah, that's kind of
a fine
cool
way of saying, like, spiritually, yes, you can consider this an ending. Factually, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And by the way, he did say that it hasn't been renewed for season 5 yet. But he did say, I think the first question is if not when. Mm. So, yeah, we don't know if it's getting renewed again.
No, but it's a quiet one they can do in the background and just sort of let it develop. So,
mm-hmm. And guess what, man? That's it.
No,
that's all I have. All
right, if you insist.
That was an abrupt ending, and I apologize.
You wanna play like 15 seconds of a giant dog sleeping?
No, I don't.
Or just like an RV that you know is sentient, just sort of sitting there? Or
No, I'd rather just end the show.
Mm, okay. We could literally play crickets. Like.
Uh-huh. Thank you so much for listening to DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. You can become a patron at patreon.com/DC On Screen. Mm-hmm. You can find my art at Drawing with Dave. You can find Jason's daughter outside in her playhouse. Mm-hmm. That's all I know. Those are all the things. We're on Twitter. We're on the Instagrams. We're on all the things. Yeah.
That's fine. I'll go record some audio of the cows.
I wish you would.
Fair moment of zen.
I wish you would. We don't need no moment of zen on this show. We are DC fans. This is a life of tumult.
It's also true. No, that's why we need it.
Like, just have a giant zen garden.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Have you seen this movie Windfall on Netflix with Jason Segel?
Mm.
Check that shit out when you get a chance. It is really good.
I'm into it.
It's Jason Segel and it's Lily Collins.
Mm.
And it's Phil Collins' daughter. She's actually just damn good actor. And I will say this, it is not a comedy.
Hmm. I mean,
anyway.
Speaking of, I mostly have been catching up on Miss Maisel.
Oh, I need to get into that. I keep getting distracted by other things like Severance, which is fantastic, and now Better Call Saul is back, and I know that's fantastic, so you know, I'm watching that. And
yeah, I got to watch Severance, too.
Severance is so good, dude.
Yeah, I know. I've heard.
It's like, is. Oh, and Atlanta's back. And damn,
that haunts
so
me
good.
That haunts me, too. I'm seasons behind on that, and I know how goddamn good it is. Hurts me.
It
hurts
is
me every day.
So, so, so good.
I'm like leaving a part of my existence as a human on the table by not watching that show.
Yeah. Bel-Air is actually surprisingly like really fantastic too.
Huh. Like, I was going to ask.
Oh
you.
My gosh.
Yeah, I was curious. Yeah.
It is very good. It is ridiculously surprisingly fantastic. Like every when those end credits pop up, I'm like, "No!" Like they have been extremely faithful to the canon. They have fleshed out characters we only saw once.
Nice.
On the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, it is a drama. They deal with, you know, race issues. They deal with politics. They deal with, like, what it means to, you know, be successful in the black community and to be seen as not having given back to your community. Like, they deal with, like, social media influencers and how people can be taken advantage of. It's just so good. There's so much, like, you know, anxiety pressures, like you know, so much, having so much money, you have access to cocaine. It's so good though. It's so good. And I'll tell you this, freaking Jeffrey is like, he's not the butler. He's the house manager. And dude is like 007. Like Philip is just using him to go like, take care of shit, you know, like keep an eye on blah, blah, blah. He's like, yes, sir. You know, he's just like, he's like suave as shit. Like this like Jamaican dude. He's just like being a badass. Just, I love it. I love it. It is a fantastic show. And the kid playing Will has like a lot of Will Smith's mannerisms and does a lot of the same stuff, but like it's so much more serious. And it's, I just love it. I think it's so good. Nice. It's so, so good. Anyway. Yeah, we're going to go. I'm ready for that. I hope it doesn't get cut off because of Will slapping Chris Rock.
I don't think that'll be the thing.
God, I hope that doesn't happen. It's been renewed already, but
yeah,
things are getting put on pause. There's this bullshit headline that was like, Will Smith's Deadshot movie put on hold after Will Smith slaps Chris Rock at the Oscars. And I'm like,
well, that's not how time works.
We ain't. I mean, it is how time works, but that shit's been on hold. Like,
no, that's what I'm saying.
We ain't been.
That movie was on hold 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, my good baby.
But no, like if you're not. If you look into it for like half a second, you realize like, oh, so Warner Brothers has been like not wanting to say no, but also not wanting to say yes because Will Smith wants $20 million. So,
which is not that much in the landscape it's not that of much. Movies.
It's a whole hell of a lot now. I think it may have been like
I'll make you a dollar the only right
true,
now.
The only true part of that it put on hold after Will did that was because now they're like, dude, you're definitely not getting $20 million now. Like we were actually thinking about maybe, but
no. I'll tell you what, dude. I'll make you a dollar bet right now. The next movie he signs up for, 15+.
That's not 20.
Yeah, I'll give you 15+ as my dollar bet.
This man is not Jim Carrey in a comedy in 1993, okay?
He'll make it.
Will Smith is not a guaranteed success at the box office. He's just
not. Oh, he's not.
He's not. We all saw those horrible trailers for After Earth. Some of us actually foolishly went and watched it.
Yeah, but those were years ago. And in the meantime, he's made a bunch of movies that made money. Like, seriously, 15 million plus, next movie he signs up for after this little event and...
Maybe.
Just lots of talking to do about the event itself, but dear God, I don't care. Not enough to do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it wouldn't stop me from watching a Will Smith movie. I don't give a shit.
It's kind of a point. My instinct is he's going to dip down for a little while, lay low, and you know, you'll see him in like a year or sign up for a movie, and he'll be fine.
Look, I would have slapped Chris Rock. Because the joke was bad.
That's same reason he said that James Gunn got in trouble. It was because the jokes were bad. He would have gotten away with that bullshit. They were bad jokes and bad, you know, topics and concepts. Had they been actually good jokes, that would not have been a problem.
Yeah.
Bless all of our hearts. We got Peacemaker and Suicide Squad out of it. So, you know, good on you for making those bad jokes that got you into this area.
It's like it's bad enough if you're punching down, which if you're a celebrity and you're, you know, probably gonna go get an Oscar and shit that night and you're sitting in the front row and there's a comedian up on stage, you gotta expect that they're gonna make fun of you. But that joke was punching down and bad.
It was, yeah. I mean, think back like a few years ago when, you know, Gervais gotten, you know, so much shit for the Golden Globes thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was punching across, possibly up, and it still didn't go well. I don't know what.
I loved it though. I loved it.
I thought it was pretty good, but I don't know what Chris Rock was thinking. Like Chris Rock would have cut that joke from his own Netflix special. That is what pisses me off about it. It was a bad joke. He would have moved on from that if it was in any other context. I feel like he wrote that 15 minutes before he went on stage and didn't think about it again.
And this is crazy to me that all these comedians are coming to his defense. We're like, it was a joke, but none of them being professional comedians are saying it was a bad joke.
That's the only part that bothers me about it. It's like, it's not that it wasn't. Look, I want to defend the ability to joke around about shit. I really do. But
sure,
punching down and being clumsy about it, like, I didn't expect that out of Chris Rock. I don't think Will Smith did either. That's maybe why he got up and punched him, or slapped him, I mean. Struck him. It was so surprising that he'd be that in that place.
I don't know, man.
No, no.
It's weird. Anyway, gonna go.
Let's not talk about a thing we said we weren't going to talk about.
You fall into it.
Yeah.
You fall into it.
Zeitgeist and whatnot.
Zeitgeist. Indeed. It's tough, man. It's in your face all the time.
Yeah.
Have you seen that little gif that someone made? It's like they altered it so like Will walks up and goes to hit him and Chris Rock dodges him and then like does like a backflip and kicks him off the stage.
I have not seen that.
It looked pretty damn convincing. I was really like, oh my God, that actually looks good.
It's going to be like the deep fake guy that got hired by some major studio. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it you could tell it wasn't real, but it looked pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Anyway, keep some DC on your screen.
I guess. I don't know. Keep some Deadshot from that one movie.
Our intro music is by Jason Goss and Michael Shackelford. Michael's band, Galactic Engineers of Magnetic Sounds, or GEMS, can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp. Visit DCOnScreen.com to find our Patreon, merch, contact information, and every episode of the show for free, including crossovers we've done with other podcasts. DC OnScreen is a maladjusted production. For more from me and Jason, including sketch comedy, vlogs, parodies, and our improvised web series Hey Guy, visit maladjusted.dv.